Today we're going to talk about Pesach. What's so special about matzah? Why do we make such a big deal on Pesach and about the Seder about eating matzah? So this is a talk, a maimer, a discourse from a talk from the Alter Rebbe, the first Mabshir Rebbe, starts by explaining to us what is the holiday of Pesach all about and what is the eating of matzah, which is the main thing that we're concerned about on Pesach. We prepare the matzah, the matzah. What's it all about? The Alter Rebbe explains as follows. And this is a little bit of an introduction. In general, when we do mitzvahs, the question is, why does Hashem give us mitzvahs that are action mitzvahs to do? Why do we sit at the Seder? Why do we eat the matzah and the maror? So, you think about it for a minute, and you say, well, we're remembering an event that happened in our past, and it's very important for us to remember our past, because if you remember the past, you know who you're connected to. And also, it's important to be grateful and show gratitude. Hashem, as we say in the Haggadah, took us out of Egypt. And then we say further in the Haggadah, not only did Hashem take us out of Egypt and save us from the troubles of Pharaoh at that time, but he continually saves us, whether it's Hitler or Stalin or something more remote or something less, terrible. Hashem is constantly saving us. And therefore, the Jewish nation has withstood anti-Semitism, persecution. The Jewish nation has withstood many, many great and mighty empires. Those empires have crumbled and fallen. We, the Jewish people, are here to tell the tale. We're here to, unfortunately, bear the wounds, but we laugh at our enemies. We say, you can't start up with us. We are an eternal people. So this is a very powerful thing. So to get around the Seder table once a year, outside of Israel, of course, twice a year, and to celebrate the protection that Hashem has given us, we're like superhumans. In fact, we are absolutely untouchables. Although, yes, we can get beaten up, but you can knock us down, but you can't knock us out. That's a very big deal to celebrate. But that is a wonderful and a very big deal, but that tells only a very small story of what happens when we celebrate and what happens when we keep the mitzvahs. In fact, according to the Zohar, and this is the addition that the Jewish mystical teachings add to the layers of our understanding of our religion. Because according to the literal meaning of the celebration, it's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing, as I just mentioned, to celebrate the eternity of the Jewish people and the miracles of our protector and the close relationship we have with our creator. This itself is amazing. But the Zohar and the writings of the Arizal specifically, and the writings, of course, of the Chabad Rebbes who amplify all of those concepts, teach us much, much deeper levels. What is that? So you can ask a person, why did you have breakfast this morning? Person says, I didn't have any breakfast this morning. Oh, fine. Are you going to eat something today? Well, what about lunch? Well, okay, fine. I'll have lunch. Why did you eat this morning? Or why are you going to eat in the afternoon? Or why are you going to go out for dinner tonight? And then they'll say, well, I want to remember a dinner that my great-grandparents had. And my grandparents used to eat breakfast. And that's why I eat breakfast. My grandparents sometimes had lunch. And I have lunch for the same reason. My great-great-grandfather and my grandmother, they used to sit down for supper together a couple of times a year. And that's why we have dinner every evening. Person will look at you and say, what are you, crazy? That's why you're eating breakfast, lunch, and supper, to remember your grandparents. You're eating breakfast, lunch, and supper because you need food. Because if you don't eat, you're going to die. You're going to be starving. And eventually, you're not going to be here. And the same is true, the Zohar explains to us, with the mitzvahs that we do. So we don't do mitzvahs only to remember the mitzvahs and the events that happened with our ancestors. If that were the case, it would still be amazing. Just to remember, as I said, just to remember and reflect on the relationship and the past and the miracles and to express the gratitude, this itself is a wonderful thing. But if a person thinks to themselves, this is the whole reason for doing mitzvahs, you're missing, the Zohar says, not only some of the story, but you're missing most of the story. You're doing mitzvahs because you, Jew, today need that energy. You, Jew, today need that connection. The Zohar explains to us that when a person eats food, it's not that we are simply eating food because our body needs food. We're eating food because our neshama needs food. Our soul needs food. Then you ask yourself, what kind of food does the neshama eat? The neshama doesn't eat. The soul doesn't. The neshama says tehillim. Neshama davens. The neshama, you know, does good deeds. The soul gets energy. No, the Zohar says, Hashem creates the entire world. Every single object, every entity in the world is created by Hashem. If it's created by Hashem, then the simple understanding is, the obvious rather understanding is, that it has Hashem's energy. What does it mean Hashem creates something? It means Hashem puts energy. Hashem sets aside a certain amount of energy and uses that spiritual energy to create the physical thing. Of course, in science today, we begin to understand this. As we become closer to Mashiach's times, we begin to have this understanding that there is no such thing as a material world that stands separate and distinct from the spiritual world. Science has known this for a long, long time, that there's a law of conservation of energy. There is a certain amount of energy in the world that Hashem created, obviously, although not all the scientists are going to tell you. Some will tell you this, that God created it. But clearly, it has to come from somewhere. And that amount of energy in the world is transferable. You can move it from this state to that state and back to a different state, and kinetic to potential, to a tree, to a fire, to a smoke, to an ashes, and then it starts again. But it's all energy. It's all energy. As a matter of fact, about more than 100 years ago, scientists discovered that if you take the smallest atom and you split it, what do you get? Energy. So this is clear that science, human science, has figured this out. This is as we come closer to Mashiach's times. We are given this information, the ability to discover this information. But the Zohar tells us this more than 2,000 years ago, written by Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And the Rizal, who lived in the 1500s, explained this, as I said, in greater detail. And the Rebbes of Chabad and the other great Rebbes, all the mystical teachers, many, many mystical teachers, teachers of Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah, have explained this. Nowhere is it explained, however, as widely and as accessibly as in the teachings of the Chabad Rebbes. So the Alter Rebbe therefore explains to us that when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, listen, Jews, Hashem is one, we don't just mean there's one God. That a simple person on the street understands by looking at the world, there could only be one creator. It can't be a multiplicity of forces. When we say Hashem Echad, it means that there is a unity in the world, and that this physical world and the spiritual world are not two structures that are fighting each other. They are, in fact, two halves of a whole. So that when we eat physical food, what we're really doing is accessing the energy that's inside the food. And again, every dietitian will tell that to you. Every child understands that. That you're not just eating food, you're eating minerals and proteins, and you have to have a certain amount of this and that to be healthy. So we understand it's not just the food, it's the proteins and the minerals. We didn't always know that. But maybe the ancients knew it and we forgot it. This, just as there are minerals and proteins, and we're accessing the inner energy of the food for our physical bodies, we're also accessing the inner energy of the food for our spiritual bodies, for our neshamas, for our souls. And therefore, during the year, when we eat chametz, we eat bread, we access a certain type of energy, the energy that Hashem puts into bread. And the Alter Rebbe points out, this is not the first place, but the Alter Rebbe points out here in this discourse, that when you take a look at the way the world is created by God, Hashem creates the world generally in four broad categories of creation. The most simplest appearing to be the most simplest level of creation is the inanimate rocks, earth, water, things that don't grow, things that stay forever. The level on top of that is the vegetable kingdom. They grow, they have life, but they don't move from place to place. The level on top of that is the animal world. The animal world can't reason, it has a certain amount of logic, but clearly not like humans, can speak certain sounds, but not like humans. So that's the animal world. And then, of course, on top of that, the fourth level are humans, us. So you have humans, animals, vegetable kingdom, and the inanimate world. The Alter Rebbe says, take a look. In order for humans to be healthy, we need to consume animals, not every day, but some animal protein, animal products. And of course, we need to have vegetable world. We need to eat certain things from the vegetable world. And of course, we need minerals, water, minerals, in order to exist. And if we don't have those three levels, we die. We won't exist or we won't be healthy. In order for animals to exist, they don't need to eat humans, but they do need to eat the vegetable world and the mineral world. What does the mineral world need? Nothing. So the question you ask yourself is, which one is more powerful? The entity that requires less maintenance is clearly more powerful and has more staying power than the entity that requires a lot of maintenance. Now today, again, we have wonderful analogies because of the information that Hashem has allowed us to get. And today we have a lot of inventions. So we understand that a hammer and a computer are both inanimate objects, but a computer is much more delicate. With a hammer, you can hammer nails all day long. You can break big rocks open with a big enough hammer. With a computer, if you start doing that, the computer is not going to function anymore. So today we are beginning to understand that just because something is more delicate, it doesn't mean it doesn't have more power. But then the question is, what does that power, and that power is the power to do other things, not the power for it to take care of itself. And that's the difference between the human power and the inanimate power, the two ends of the spectrum. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe asked the question, why is it in fact that humans need those three levels? If we are such amazing creations and we're so powerful, we can change the whole world, we can destroy the world, we can create the world, we can make the world, we can break the world. Why in fact do we need the energy of those lower three levels, the vegetable, the animal, vegetable, and inanimate, in order to exist? And the Alter Rebbe says, well, very simple. Because there is, in fact, more spiritual energy, more spiritual power, the lower you go. So the inanimate world has the most amount of power. Basically, you know, splitting the atom. The inanimate world has the most amount of spiritual energy, of Hashem's power. And that's why every the other three levels need to consume the inanimate world, water, minerals, and so on, to exist. The vegetable world has actually less spiritual energy. The animal world has less, and the human world has less. And in order to access more, you must consume the energy from those other levels. That's what happens when we eat in general. That's what happens when we eat bread and other stuff during the year. So why do we eat matzah? Why is it important for us to eat matzah? So again, the Zohar says that matzah in Aramaic is called michla de mehenusa. That means food that strengthens our emuna, our faith in Hashem. Food that strengthens our belief in God. How could this be? We eat food and it strengthens our belief in God? And the answer is, well, yeah, every food strengthens something. If you eat proper food, the right type of food, you're going to become stronger in some aspect, assuming you're eating healthy food and assuming you need it and so on. So just like food, the physicality of the food, the materialistic part of the food strengthens your material body, the spiritual energy. And as we just mentioned, the lower down you go, the more spiritual energy you get. So the spiritual energy in the food strengthens a certain aspect of your spirit, of your neshama. If you're going to eat lechem, which is bread, you're going to have a certain type of energy. If you're going to eat matzah, which is unleavened bread, you're going to have a different type of energy. Now, that energy that the bread and the lechem and the matzah have is there, but it's only accessible on God's terms. So, for example, if you eat non-kosher food, it's going to strengthen your body because the physicality, Hashem allows us, in order to have free will, Hashem allows us to access the physical energy in every substance that's out there in his creation, whether we're permitted to or not. It's like walking into somebody's house and stealing food from their refrigerator, or walking into a store and just playing shoplifting a sandwich or whatever it is. Are you going to be hungry after you eat it? No, because the bottom line is you ate it. Hashem says the same thing to us. I'm allowing you to shoplift. I'm giving you free choice. I'm not going to beat you up if you steal the stuff. I want to see, are you going to listen to me because you want to listen, because you want to fulfill the mitzvah. So you want to eat not kosher food? I'm going to allow you to access the physical energy that's in the food. The spiritual energy in the food? No, this not. Until there? No, I'm not going to go that far. So if you're going to eat the food that is not kosher, the spiritual energy that's in the food, not only is it not going to help your neshama, help your soul and uplift you spiritually, it's actually going to do the opposite. It's going to clog the neshama's receptors of spirituality. It's going to make the person dull. It's going to make the person indifferent. Very famous story, the previous Lubav Chereva, Rebbe's father-in-law was arrested in 1927 by the communists at that time, with the Yevsexia, the Jewish section of the GPU of the communist police. And they interrogated him. They brought him to the jail, and they interrogated him, and they wanted to know, what is it about your teachings that you're ready to give up your life? What's so special about the previous Rebbe? At that time, the communists in 27 were literally murdering all kinds of clerics of all religions, and the people he was around the table with were a bunch of Jewish guys who had become the Jewish section, who had themselves gone to Cheder, and if they didn't go to Cheder, then they were raised by parents who were from and so on. Unfortunately, that's what happened. So the Rebbe said, listen, I can't explain it to you. What do you mean you can't explain it? That you guys eat treif. And when you eat treif, you're never going to understand what I'm about to tell you. If you promise me that you're going to eat only kosher from now on, he's sitting in prison being arrested for teaching Judaism, and he's speaking to the people who could literally kill him at any moment, God forbid. But that's what he said. When you eat treif, you cannot completely, you can understand, but you're not going to understand what I'm telling you. I'm wasting my time, he says. So obviously every mitzvah that we do this was a different generation. That was a generation of people who were, as we say in Hebrew, lahachis. They were being in spite. Today, our generation today is different. Our generation today, Hashem is so kind to us that even if a person does not eat 100% the stuff that you're supposed to be eating, or you eat some stuff you're not supposed to be eating, Hashem is so kind to us, and Hashem says, I love you guys anyway, and I'm so happy that you're doing whatever you do. So we're talking about a different generation now. Having said that, there is an effect, however, on what you eat. What you eat makes an effect on you. Everybody understands this in the physical. And it's true, therefore, it carries over spiritually. So the matzah that we eat on the night of the Seder, at that moment, not all year round. Again, all year round, eating matzah is just like eating bread. It's food. It has spiritual energy. You make a blessing on it. You make the bracha hamotzi, and you eat it, and you get Hashem's energy. It doesn't strengthen your faith. But on the night of Pesach, Hashem allows certain channels of energy to flow through the food. The same that the channels of energy are there all the time. We just explained, really the food has spiritual energy. And the night of Pesach, the energy of Hashem, in order to strengthen our emunah, our faith in Hashem, that energy flows through the matzah. So that's a little bit of an introduction. So now let me tell you some of the essay itself, of this of the Rebbe's talk itself. The Rebbe asked the following question. In the Haggadah, if you take a look in the Haggadah that we read on the night of Pesach, one of the statements that we make, and it's a famous statement, if you ask people, why do we eat matzah? The answer in the Haggadah is, the reason that we eat matzah during the Seder is because we want to remember the matzah that our ancestors ate when they left Egypt. They had no time to bake bread properly because they were pushed out of Egypt by the Egyptians, who were scared they were all going to die after the firstborn started dying. And they pushed us out of Egypt, and we had no time to properly bake our bread. The bread turned out to be flat bread baked by the sun on our backs. And in order to remember that, we eat matzah. That's what it says in the Haggadah. You look in the Haggadah, that's what it says. As a matter of fact, it's a direct quote from the Chumash, not just the Haggadah. It's a direct quote from the Chumash itself, from the Torah itself. The Alter Rebbe asks a very obvious question. The Alter Rebbe says, hold on a second. If you go back to the story of the Jews leaving Egypt, the story doesn't happen just in a minute. The Jews leave Egypt and that's it. There's no story before that. The actual story is, and this again is in the Chumash, is in the Torah, that Moshe tells the Jewish people on the 10th day of the month of Nisan, which was a couple days ago, Shabbos. Today is the 12th, so 10th was a couple days ago. On the 10th of Nisan, Moshe tells the Jews, I want each family to take a lamb and take the lamb into your homes and keep the lamb there for 4 days. And on the 14th of Nisan, which is the day before Passover begins, the day before Pesach begins, take that lamb in the afternoon and slaughter it, and then roast it, and then take some of the blood of the lamb and put it on your doorposts, and then take the lamb itself, and after nightfall, sit down to a meal. This is in the Chumash, in Egypt, before the Jews left, obviously, because they're in Egypt, sit down to a meal. And at that meal, eat some of this roasted lamb that you just slaughtered and put the blood on the doorpost. Eat the lamb once it's been roasted. Eat matzah and eat bitter herbs. So when was the first Seder? The first Seder was actually celebrated in Egypt before the Jews left, the night before the Jews left, the evening before the Jews left. And by the time they finished eating the matzah, it was midnight. And the meal was midnight. And at the stroke of midnight, the Torah tells us, Hashem himself went through the entire Egypt. God says it was me. It wasn't even an angel. I didn't appoint any seconds. I did it all myself. And Hashem went through every house of the Egyptians and killed the firstborn in every house at the stroke of midnight. And that's when Pharaoh came running to Moshe and to Aaron. Guys, that's it. I give up. Leave right now. And the Jews said, now we're not leaving so fast. Now we're going to leave in the morning. We don't want to say that we ran away. And we don't want to say that you had no knowledge of us leaving. We want to leave in the broad daylight. That's when they left. So the question, obvious question is, if we're going to sit down to a Seder and we're going to eat matzah and we're going to say that this matzah commemorates something, and now you know that there is a story where the Jews actually had a Seder in Egypt eating matzah together with the lamb, together with the bitter herbs, the maror. And only after that was the slaying of the firstborn at midnight when they finished the meal completely, which incidentally is why we tried to finish eating the afikomen by midnight, to remember that. Why would we say that the matzah that we eat commemorates matzah that they had the next day upon leaving, because they were in a hurry? Why not say the matzah that we're eating at a Seder commemorates the matzah that the Jews had at their Seder, which was the first Seder, in fact? This makes no sense, the Alter Rebbe says. Which matzah are we commemorating? Some kind of matzah that the Jews couldn't properly bake, or the matzah that the Jews actually proactively made as matzah? Because Moshe had told the Jews, I don't want you to eat fluffy bread. I don't want you to eat bread that's risen, that's leavened bread. I want you, Shem is telling you, I want you to eat matzah at this meal. What's happening here? Which matzah are we commemorating? And in fact, why does the Haggadah tell us, therefore, that we're commemorating the matzah from the next day? Why not commemorate the matzah from the Seder that happened the previous night? The Alter Rebbe explains to us along the lines of what I was saying previously. Matzah, eating matzah, is not just an act of remembrance. It's an act of reenacting, reliving, and reinvigorating ourselves with the energies that the Jews received at that time. So that when we eat today, again, we don't eat to remember our parents' breakfast, lunch, and supper. We eat to reinvigorate ourselves today. When we do mitzvahs, we don't do mitzvahs to remember Abraham and Sarah and Yitzhak and our grandfathers and so on, mitzvahs. We do mitzvahs because we need energy today. And we get energy today by doing mitzvahs. Yes, it's true. The mitzvahs that we do remind us of our ancestors' mitzvahs. But that's just on one level. Once we do them, we get the energies again. So what happened? What is the point of eating matzah? And this is the point of the essay, the Alter Rebbe's essay. Why, in fact, did Hashem tell Moshe to tell the Jewish people to eat matzah at the Seder? If the point of eating matzah is to remember this hastiness running out of Egypt, why did Hashem tell this to the Jews when they were sitting comfortably still in Egypt? Why, in fact, did they have to eat matzah? And again, this is in the Chumash. Why did they have to eat matzah the night before leaving Egypt? The Alter Rebbe explains to us that matzah is a food of emunah, a food of faith, and it's a food of what's called in Hebrew bittul, a food of self-nullification to Hashem. What is faith? What does it mean to have emunah, to have faith in someone? So, you know, there's these exercises where the corporations go to these retreats and they want to build team reliance and belief in the team. So you blindfold the person and you have the person falls back and somebody else catches them. A whole bunch of different exercises where you're building trust in your team. That's what faith means. Faith, emunah, is connected with the concept of bitachon, of faith and trust. It's differences. There are clear differences between what we call faith and what we call trust. But in general, faith means that you have an experience that has led you to a certain state of mind. That experience happens multiple times until you finally believe that this is what's going to happen the next time. And in fact, the Alter Rebbe explains to us in Tanya that the word emunah, faith, comes from the Hebrew word amen, which means a craftsman, a person that has exercised, a person that has practiced their craft again and again and again. So why is, let's say, for example, the goldsmith or the silversmith or the person, the musician, who knows how to do something so expertly, why in fact are they such an expert? Because they spent hours and hours and hours, perhaps so they know the next time they pick up the ball and they try to throw it in the basket, the next time they take the silver and they try to make it into a piece of jewelry, the next time they pick up a musical instrument and they put the bow to the strings, or they, whatever it is, the piano, they put their fingers on the keys, they know their fingers are going to land up on the right keys. How do you know that? Why are you so confident? You get dressed up in a tuxedo and you sit there in front of, I don't know, hundreds, some thousands of people sometimes who paid a lot of money to hear you play. And who says you're going to play? So yeah, it's true. Person is nervous, probably. But the bottom line is they're confident that they're going to do it. And the reason they're confident is only because they practiced so many times. That's what our emunah means. Our emunah, our faith in Hashem, is because we have practice. Emunah, again, faith from the word amen, to practice, to be a craftsperson. We have practice. We have the practice of our own experiences, our parents' experiences, our grandparents' experiences, and another hundreds and hundreds going back to Avraham Avinu, 3,700 years of experience. That's our emunah. That's our faith in Hashem. The matzah that the Jews ate when sitting in Egypt actually was a preparation. It wasn't the matzah that they were, that wasn't the end all and be all. That was a mechanism for the Jews who at that time were assimilated into Egyptian culture. Most of the Jews were worshiping idols, not the tribe of Levi, but most of the Jews were worshiping idols. Many of the Jews were doing all kinds of other stuff the Egyptians did. Many of the Jews had forgotten the faith of their ancestors. They questioned Moshe. They questioned whether, Rashi tells us that 80% of the Jewish people did not believe that Hashem can save them in the desert, and they in fact stayed in Egypt. Only 20% left. And from the 20% that left, they needed strengthening. Their faith in Hashem needed strengthening. The matzah that Hashem gave the Jewish people in Egypt was a preparation for the matzah of leaving Egypt, the matzah that they had the next day. So that this is the interesting thing was, we eat matzah today to commemorate the past. The Jews ate matzah then to prepare for the future. Which future? The matzah of the leaving of Egypt. What's the difference? And the answer is like this. A person's faith can only be so taken so far on your own. In order to really have a deep sense of belief in Hashem, deep sense of faith in your future, your connection, you can only logically take it a certain distance. You can say, well, I believe this, I believe that, but your logic eventually is going to come back and smack you in the face, and it's going to tell you, but look at this problem, but look at this enemy, but look at this issue. Are you really going to jump off the cliff? You're going to die. Yes, you have a parachute strapped to your back, but a parachute, who knows if it even works? You don't have any experience. Your logic can only take you a certain distance. What can push you over the cliff, literally, to make that jump with the parachute or the bungee jump or whatever it is experience. And experience cannot be bought, cannot be obtained by just thinking about it. You have to go through that experience, and then you will be able to lean back on the experience that you had and further your faith in taking the step after that. So therefore, the matzah the Jews had before leaving Egypt was before they were redeemed. It was before the firstborn were killed. It was before the full might of the Egyptian society, the Egyptian culture was destroyed by Hashem. The slaying of the firstborn wasn't just a punishment. It wasn't just a mechanism to get the Jews out of Egypt. It wasn't just a way to finally bring Paro to his knees. It was, in fact, the vanquishing, the destruction of the pride, the might, the klipa. The klipa means the ultimate depth of evil of Egypt. Only after Hashem killed the firstborn, and again, it didn't leave it up to an angel, did it himself. Only after that was the cover-up of spirituality that Egypt represented, was it broken, was the faith in Hashem that a human being could obtain, was that faith fully revealed, fully developed. And therefore, the Jews had matzah before the slaying of the firstborn in order to prepare them, in order to prime them for a level of faith that they would be only obtaining and only able to reach after the slaying of the firstborn upon actually leaving Egypt. So therefore, when we eat matzah today, the Haggadah tells us we don't remember the preliminary matzah. We don't remember the preparation matzah. We don't remember the incomplete, so to speak, level of matzah that the Jews had when they were leaving Egypt, when they were sitting at the Seder in Egypt. Even though that was a complete Seder, it was a preparation. Today we would call it a model Seder. It was a preparation. Yes, it was Hashem's command. So it wasn't just an act that the Jews were doing, but it was a model Seder. It was a preparation. It was the original model Seder preparation for the revelation, for the experiences, for the depth of faith in Hashem that the Jews would obtain when Hashem finally shows them the true power of his majesty and breaks the might of Egypt, takes them out of Egypt. The Jews are now outside of the house of slavery, the house of bondage, the house of affliction, the place of affliction. And now they're able to eat matzah. And now the matzah that the Jews ate actually increased their faith in Hashem. And therefore, the Zohar tells us that the matzah that we eat today is not just a reenactment, it's not just a commemoration, but it's actually a re-experiencing. It's a re-experiencing of the emunah, the faith in Hashem, that the Jews received when they ate the matzah upon leaving Egypt. And that's the importance of eating matzah. And why is matzah why does matzah in fact do that? What, in other words, why did Hashem give matzah? Hashem could have given cholent, that thing, a picha, or I don't know, we had a little while ago, we had plov evening. Hashem could have said, eat plov and you're going to have faith. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's the faith is coming from God. Hashem could have said, eat lettuce, eat radishes, eat whatever you want, or drink water. But no, the food is a representation. Hashem chose matzah specifically to invest it with this power in order for us to understand the mechanism. Because the way the food looks, that is an indication of what it does. And matzah, of course, is unleavened. It's flat. It doesn't have air inside. It's the symbol of humility, the symbol of simple devotion, simple, no ingredients except for flour and water. It doesn't allow the rising and the chemical reaction that happens when flour hits water, of the air bubbles, the souring that causes the air bubbles to form and the rising of the dough. Today, everybody's into, the sourdough, which is just plain flour and water. But it turns into delicious breads, right? But you can't have them on Pesach. You have to make sure that you bake it before the 18 minutes are up, before the chemical reaction has started, before the dough starts to sour and rise. And that means simple reliance on Hashem, simple faith in Hashem. And therefore, the food itself is an indication of what the food does. It's like it has a big label on the outside. Eat this and you will have faith. But again, the food, the matzah has to be eaten at the right time, because that's when Hashem opens up those channels. If you want to have a Zoom session, I'm telling you, the analogies that we have today is just simply, it continues to amaze me. You wanted to give a person, you know, let's say 20 years ago, whatever it was, a number of years ago, until you finally had a telephone, you wanted to give a person an analogy, I wanted to explain to somebody that you can't just do whatever you want because you're not going to have a reaction. So you were able to say a telegraph, you know, a person on the other side has to be a receiver. Fine, but a telegraph. Then you were able to say a telephone. Then you're able to say a video call. Today we have Zoom calls. So you go into the Zoom session, you're waiting for the Zoom to start. And what do you get? You get a message. What's the message? The host has not started the meeting yet. In Yiddish, we say, Geish Rai Chai V'Kayim. You can shout from today till tomorrow. You're not going to be talking to anybody. You're looking at yourself on the screen. You want to have the conversation. You want to have the class. You want to have the event. And the host has not started the meeting yet. You say, what's wrong with this host? Why can't you start the meeting? But that's the way it is. I'm sorry, Tata, we say. The host has not started the meeting. So you want to have a conversation. And we say the same thing about matzah. You want to sit down to your Seder 6 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's when it's convenient for the family. And you say, the host has not started the meeting yet. I'm sorry. You want to have the energies of matzah. You want to have the energies of maror. Host has not started the meeting. Hashem says, I'll meet you. The Zoom channel will be open. The energy will be there, but it's only going to be there after dark. And after dark right now in our part of the world, it's just about 8 o'clock. So that's just the way it is. So I tell my people that if you have to sit down to the Seder earlier, because that's what the family wants to do, Okay, don't fight with the family, but make sure to have some matzah, at least an ounce of matzah later on, even if it's not part of the official Seder, for whatever reason you have to do it, you got to do it. Of course, if you can delay the Seder until 7:55, that's the best thing to do, because the four cups of wine are also supposed to be drank at the same time as when you could get the energies from the matzah. The first of the four cups is the Kiddush, the beginning of the Seder. So that becomes the problem. You're supposed to start your Seder at 7:55. If you can't for some reason, because that's what the family needs or wants or whatever it is, try to drink four cups of wine, if possible, after 7:55, and also to eat 1 ounce of matzah, and also to eat 1 ounce of maror, and that's when the host will have started the meeting. That's when the energies that all of these foods, because if they were simply commemorations, you could do them right now. You don't have to wait till Pesach. You could do them as a matter of fact. We do remember Pesach and the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, every single day. And it is a mitzvah in the Torah to remember the Exodus from Egypt, not only every day during the daytime, but the Mishnah and the Gemara tell us to remember it in the evening too. And that's why we recite the Shema, three paragraphs of Shema in the morning and the evening, because the third paragraph of the Shema talks about leaving Egypt. So in fact, it is a biblical command to remember Shema, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, every single day during the daytime and every single day during the evening time, during the nighttime. But that's not when you're going to get the energies. That's the commemoration part. That's what we spoke about earlier. That's remembering and being grateful for the past. But now you want to reenact. Now you want to re-experience. Now you want to relive. And now you want to reinvigorate and get those energies. No, those energies are not available until the night of the Seder. But at the night of the Seder, the good news is that those energies are not only available, but they are each year increasing, because another one of the beautiful teachings of the mystical teachers is that when Hashem gives energy each year again and again, he doesn't give the same amount. He gives yet more. In spirituality, there is an infinite amount of potency, an infinite amount of strength, an infinite amount of power. And every year as we sit down to the Seder, we get more. And there's two ways to understand why we need to get more. And they're both correct. One is because we're building on the past, plain and simple. So if we have experienced a certain amount of years of Hashem giving us energy, and Hashem gives us more, so you add a little more to what we had in the past, clearly it's higher, you're higher, you're greater, you're more. Just the way it is. One plus one is two. So now you're two, three, four. Now we're actually, this year, 35 years, because it was 2448. Now it's 5783. So it's 3,335 years that we've been experiencing these energies every year. It's more and more. That's one reason. Simple math, adding and adding and adding to the pile of energy that we've received in the past, we have yet more. But another reason is because with each year and with each day, we come closer to Mashiach, the world becomes more ready for Mashiach's times. And the world is more ready, therefore, to accept spiritual energy. And therefore, as we sit down to the Seder this Wednesday night, and again on Thursday outside of Israel, we will be experiencing the most amazing, amazing matzah that no generation of Jews has ever experienced until today, until that time. And that is the mitzvah of eating. So when you sit down to eat matzah, that's what you have in mind. You have in mind that not just are you remembering the past, not just are we remembering leaving Egypt and leaving the Tsaris and the troubles of those times and all the times in between, but we're in fact, our emunah, our faith in Hashem is being strengthened. And the quoting the Zohar, explaining the Zohar says that on the two nights of Pesach, the matzah on the first night is a food that strengthens our emunah, our faith. The matzah on the second night is a food that actually strengthens our physical bodies, that actually makes us healthier physically. Many, many, many stories, many stories. The Rebbe giving some of his matzah to people who are really ill and becoming healthy, cured from all kinds of terrible, terrible illnesses. This is the power of a Rebbe to unlock. Now, of course, as we said earlier, the food has the energy inside. Now you want to unlock it, you need a certain key, a certain ability. The Rebbe was able to do that You know, but on the night of Pesach, Hashem unlocks a little bit of that for each of us. So that's, you should tell anybody who has any kind of issues in health, God forbid, that the second night of Pesach, eating matzah is very, very special. Zohar teaches it is a food of health. And the Rebbe explains to us that the reason the first night is faith and the second night is health is because when a person's faith in Hashem is very strong, then the illnesses and the problems, the physical problems that come from illnesses, are also taken away at their source. The reason that there are physical illnesses is because there's a lack of connection spiritually, not the other way around. The physical comes from the spiritual. Hashem's energy becomes material world. So if the physical is broken, it means that there's some kind of a breakdown in the transmission of spiritual energy. That's why the Rebbes were able to fix physical problems by giving a bracha. They fix the issue at its source. And that's what we are each able to do the night of Pesach. Hashem gives us, this is from the Zohar, Hashem gives us this ability to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach, so that on the second night of Pesach, we should be in perfect health. So God willing, anybody who has any issues, may they have a refuah shleima, a complete recovery from anything that's bothering anybody anywhere. And may we experience Zaman Cheroseinu, the time of our freedom in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, in Jerusalem. As we say in the Haggadah, that we'll eat then, v'nochal sham, we'll eat then, in that place, min hazvachim u'min hapsachim, from the offerings and from the Karban Pesach, from the Pesach offering. And Lishana Hazos, in this year, the Yerushalayim. We should be in Jerusalem. We say Lishana Bab Yerushalayim, but it doesn't have to mean until waiting until the next year. It could be we're going right now to Yerushalayim, so that next year we'll be in Yerushalayim. Of course, if we're there right now, we'll be there next year. So that is...
Amen, amen, amen.
That is our...